praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. Galatians 5:1 tells us that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yet later we see how this freedom can actually turn out to be a stumbling to both ourselves and others around us. How to safeguard the freedom we have received in Christ is our focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. We come to Galatians chapter 5 today, a chapter presenting freedom in Christ. And Dick Taylor is here as we look at genuine New Testament believers who actually lost their freedom, Dick, because they allowed themselves to be persuaded to take another way. This is an interesting chapter, isn't it?
It really is, Chris. This chapter brings us to the daily walk of God's children. And it's quite good to see that in chapter 5, verse 4, Paul's letting them know, don't be taken away from Christ. You should not be brought to nothing from Christ. And you should not fall away from grace. In our daily walk, God has jealously betrothed us to himself in Christ. And we should not be brought to nothing from Christ. Neither should we fall from grace. This is the first warning related to our Christian walk. And then secondly in this chapter, Paul tells the Galatian believers to get rid of any leaven, even a little leaven. That means anything that takes us away from the enjoyment of Christ. We don't want to be brought to nothing from him. We don't want to fall from grace. So get rid of any leaven. And then thirdly in this chapter, Paul makes it clear that we've been called to freedom, but we should never use our freedom as an occasion for the flesh. But rather, our freedom should bring us to love one another for the display of the oneness of his body. We want to testify this wonderful Christ through the church.
Amen. Dick, our first section today is going to deal with three very critical verses in this chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. Verse 7 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you that you would not believe and obey the truth? This persuasion is not of him who calls you." That's verse 8 and verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Dick, let's join Witness Lee.
And now in verse 20 of chapter 4, Paul said he was perplexed about them. That means he didn't know quite clearly what way he should take to deal with the Galatians. Now, in this section, you could see he somewhat turned to a kind of a mild tone. He appraised them, but of course he used the past tense. You were running well. Then he said, who hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He doesn't say the doctrines. Truth, that means the reality in Christ. These things are not doctrines. These things are the reality that we have heard in Christ. Then he says, some of the ones who hinder you, they talk to you, and their word is kind of a persuasion. No doubt, this is the persuasion of the Judaizers. This persuasion is not of him who calls you. If this is not of him, the very God who calls you, then it must be of the other one, Satan. So this indicates strongly that the Judaizers were one with Satan. They were doing something, one with Satan, against God's economy. All the deceivers, they use sweet words. So Paul says this is a persuasion. Persuasion indicates what? Indicate enticing word, sweet word, nice word. But this is coating, sugar coating. Within, the poison is there. But whatsoever, you have to realize, their talk is not of him who called us. Their talk is not of God, the very source, but of another source. That is the source of God's enemy. Just to distract, just to deprive, just to bring the enjoyers of Christ to naught. Then verse 9 says, a little leaven. Paul, according to what he wrote in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't think that was a little leaven. This doesn't mean Paul considered what he talked in the past chapters as a little leaven. No, no, no. He says this, you who have listened to persuasion may say, well, that's just a little talk. Then Paul says, don't say a little leaven. Even a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Today, we have to see the subtle strategy of the enemy. The enemy uses the opposers, the dissenting ones, always to begin a talk with a little leaven, just little, as an appetizer to open your stomach. This is what Paul says, a little leaven. The distracted ones may say, well, the Judaizers just talk a little bit to us. Even that little talk, is leaven. Oh, the leaven, just like the germs, they multiply. So a little leaven leavens the whole lamp. No doubt, whole lamp means here the whole congregation, the whole body of the church. Today the same. Don't let a little leaven have any kind of opening. As long as we realize that leaven, we have to close the door to little leaven.
Dick, if we look at the three verses that we read earlier from chapter 5, we see here believers who were running well, but then fell prey to those who subtly persuaded them to take another direction, bringing in just a little leaven, it says. Very sobering word, Dick. We all need to guard against this kind of persuasion. What is the leaven here that affected these Galatians and affected even how they ran?
This leaven is the teaching that distracts from Christ to the observance of the law. With the Galatians, they were being distracted by the Judaizers away from Christ and the enjoyment of Christ to observances of the law. But this is a shame, because many things of the law were just a shadow of Christ. So they were being taken back to a shadow away from the reality. What we need to do is to observe Christ and not observe the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. So we should be those who exclusively observe Christ. He is everything to us. It says in these verses that you read that you were running well, means they were enjoying Christ. They were pursuing Christ. They were partaking of him, and he was everything to them. But who hindered you? Who cut in on you? Who distracted you away from Christ to shadows such as circumcision? This is a shame. We want Christ. We want the Christ who's crucified and resurrected. We don't want shadows. This is the leaven in this case. Our need is to be very cautious about even a little talk, because even a little talk, a little improper persuasion, can take us away from the wonderful person of Christ, all of his wonderful work, to something that might be even just a shadow of him, or even worse. We don't want to be distracted from this one and be brought to nothing And we don't want to fall from grace, as it says in verse 4. Grace is just God in Christ to be everything to us for our enjoyment. Isn't it good that this ministry has shown us very clearly that God desires us to really enjoy Christ as our grace? May we be those who continue to run well and not be hindered.
Dick, it's very interesting. In this context, it's obvious that the leaven here is not a positive thing, but a negative thing that has the effect of distracting or disrupting the pursuing of these Galatian believers. I think our natural or maybe our religious concept is that, oh, that must be talking about something sinful. But here, as you pointed out, it was not sin specifically that Paul was referring to, but another kind of teaching that just has the effect or aim of changing our vision, our field of view from Christ to something that may be good, but not Christ.
That's true. To back up what you said, Chris, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul does point out that leaven there was sin. But in this case, the leaven is not an apparently evil thing. But we have to realize this is terrible in God's eyes because it's a distraction from Christ. Christ is the one who died on the cross. The only way to enjoy the termination of our old life is not by circumcision. It's by enjoying the crucified and resurrected Christ. May our eyes be totally focused on Him. And I'm grateful, like you, Chris, that this ministry has brought us to Him and Him alone. In this way, God is not offended, God is happy, and all of us believers maintain our joy by keeping Christ as our unique focus.
Well, Dick, in the verses that we read previously, there was a kind of warning. The warning continues in verse 10, which is where we're going in this coming section. I am confident in the Lord concerning you that you will be of no other mind, but he who is troubling you shall bear the judgment, whoever he may be. Another warning, Dick.
Amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
That in nothing you will be otherwise minded. Here, Paul touches the greatest source of all the problems in the church life. What is the greatest source of all the problems in the church life? That is the different mind. To be minded otherwise, this is terrible. As long as the church doesn't have idolatry, worshiping of idols, immorality, evil things, and divisions, learn not to be otherwise minded. Yes. Whatever the church does goes as a way, as long as there's no idolatry, no immorality, no division, you just go along. Don't say, I don't like that kind of doctrine. Don't say, I don't agree with that kind of way to run the church. I don't agree to have meetings in the halls. I agree to have meetings in the living rooms. This is all different minds. You have to realize all these kinds of different minds are not of God, but of the enemy. We shouldn't let any kind of this different kind of mind to come in. What I mean is this, if we have seen what is the enjoyment of Christ and what is the church in oneness, we would never be other-minded. Not at all. Why? Because we don't care for any way. We don't care for an opinion. We only care for the full enjoyment of Christ. And we only care for the oneness of the body. We only care for the church life. When Paul says, I have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that in nothing you will be otherwise minded. Probably, when we read this word, we do not realize what Paul really means. Paul was so confident. Number one, by that time, the church was not divided. In every locality, only one church. Number two, Paul's ministry, Paul's teaching was so strong, was so clear that Christ is everything. Whether by this time the Galatians have changed or not, but based upon this fact, he could say, I have the confidence in the Lord as to you that in nothing you will be in the future otherwise minded. Why? Because the church is one there. Number one. And number two, I have given you such a clear writing. And number three, I am praying for you. So I have the confidence in the Lord concerning you that you will not be otherwise minded in anything. Now you understand how he was so strong in confidence. Today is really hard because this leaven, this poison to be otherwise minded has just saturated not only every Christian but every part of the Christians. But at Paul's time, it was different. The church was only one. And Paul put out such a strong word and he was praying. So there was a strong reason that he could have such a strong confidence. This is good.
Well, Dick, we now have another sobering word here given in verse 10. To be otherwise minded has the potential to cause us to lose the Lord's blessing in our church life, even in our Christian work. Paul was very exercised to speak a strong word here according to the situation that existed among the Galatians at that time. But how about us? How can we practice not to be of another mind in our situation today?
We can practice, Chris, not to be of another mind by exclusively focusing on Christ and on the enjoyment of Christ and on maintaining the oneness of the body. That is, taking care of one another, even serving one another in love, as will be mentioned a little later in the program. Our need is to realize the greatest source of all the problems in the church life, that is, between the believers, is this matter of being otherwise minded, or of another mind, or of a different mind. We should have only one mind, and that is a mind that is focused on Christ and not on other things. For example, if you just concentrate on maybe how the chairs should be arranged when you have a Christian meeting, that will just cause you to be of a different mind or of another mind. This will take you away from Christ. We shouldn't focus on anything other than Christ. Now, if something is idolatrous, something is immoral, or something is absolutely divisive, we must deal with it. Other than that, we must really be general with one another. But our real goal is to focus on this wonderful Christ. And we wouldn't be those who have another mind or a different mind. We just care to enjoy him. It's like I just heard someone call in to the radio program.
Right.
They even mentioned they'd been a Christian for many, many years. The essence of what they were saying was, I was focused on so many things other than this Christ. And what does this cause? This causes us just to be of another mind. Paul's charge here is that we would be of no other mind.
Dick, I know the call that you're talking about. It was very refreshing. This person had the very experience you described and that we're talking about today, as you said, many years of pursuing religious things, even spiritual things, Christian things, thinking that they were pursuing the Lord. But their own words were that this ministry has refocused them on the intimate personal relationship with Christ that had really been lacking. And that is the one mind that all the believers really need to have, isn't it?
It surely is. May we have such a mind.
Dick, we've had the practice today of reading a verse or two before we go to Witness Lee, as he is kind of touching them in this marvelous chapter, chapter 5. The verse for our final section today is verse 13, and it says, "For you were called for freedom, brothers. Only do not turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Amen.
On the one hand, he encouraged people to enjoy the freedom, but he was concerned the enjoyment of the freedom may be somewhat over. If your enjoyment of the freedom is over, that means what? That means you turn the freedom into an occasion for the indulgence of the flesh. This means, on the one hand, you are afraid. On the other hand, you are still limited. Freedom without limitation always turns out a kind of indulgence. So, we need to be balanced. Freed, yes, but still limited. Freed, yes, but still restricted. Freedom without limitation surely will become a kind of indulgence. Don't misuse your freedom. You have to be limited in your freedom. Then you would love others. When Paul wrote such a word, I do believe he should have a lot of thought within him. He surely considered that the distracted Galatians were not remain in their freedom. And Paul considered that this might be brought back to the freedom. And this may pick up his thought. Now we are free. We are under no yoke. We are under no slavery. We are free in the church. This will damage the church life. So he says, don't overuse your freedom. Yes, you are called to the freedom, but don't turn the freedom into an indulgence. You are freed, yes, freed from law, freed from that yoke of slavery, but you still have to take care of others. Some young believers, you believe me, after listening to this kind of message on freedom, would say, hallelujah, we are free. We don't care for the elders. This is turning the freedom into an occasion for the flesh. But, he says, through love, you have to love others. Through love, you serve others as a slave. Then he goes on, for the whole law is fulfilled in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, that you are, what, consumed. We have to take care of ourselves and also of others. We have to enjoy the freedom, yet we still need to be restricted for loving others. Then the church life may go on. And we all have to learn not to be otherwise minded. It's very good. Here, Paul, at the end nearly of this book, used different kinds of thought to charge us, to admonish us, to have the proper walk in the church life.
Dick, in verse 1 in our chapter today, chapter 5, we saw that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. But now here we are in verse 13, he brings it up again, but it's presented in the way that this freedom has the potential to become an opportunity for our flesh. How does our freedom risk becoming an opportunity for the flesh, and what's the best safeguard against our falling into this?
Well, Paul makes it clear that we have been called to freedom in verse 13. That means we have been called into Christ, who is the reality of freedom, and surely we are free. All the believers in Christ are really free.
Amen.
But this verse makes it also clear that we should not turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. I like this phrase, Chris, because it indicates that in the church life, that is, amongst us, practicing to be one for the Lord's testimony, it's very easy sometimes to become critical. We think, I'm so free. I even have the freedom to criticize those that are bearing responsibility over me. Those who are helping to take the lead among us. This is terrible. That's not the freedom. The real freedom also has a kind of restriction and a limitation to it. So the result of enjoying Christ as our freedom, you know what it is? It's genuine love for one another and serving one another in love. Also, the relationship with the opposite sex. We may say, I'm free. But if we're not careful, that freedom may turn into an opportunity for the flesh. So we have the freedom, but we also must remember that with this freedom, there's a healthy limitation and restriction. And when we take that limitation and restriction that's in the freedom, you know what happens? Life flows. Love flows. And the testimony among us is genuine oneness. So there's a danger here, in a sense. we realize that Christ is our freedom. We say, wow, I'm free. But with this freedom, there is the working of the cross. There's a limitation. There's a kind of heavenly restraint so that in this freedom, love can flow.
Right.
Life can flow.
Right.
And there's a testimony of genuine oneness, and we would not be cut off from Christ or brought to naught from Christ and fall from grace. So I really like this, that yes, we've been called to freedom. We have the freedom, but we don't want to turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So to do this, we must recognize that with this freedom, there's a healthy limitation and a healthy restriction. If we take that restriction and that limitation, which is part of this Christ who is our freedom, I tell you, love will be known, life will flow, we will be genuinely one, and Satan will be put to utter shame. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dick, isn't this a wonderful picture? Paul, of course, was talking to these ones who he was very sober in pointing out to them that they had fallen back into a condition of slavery under the law. So he's very, very earnest in bringing them to their condition of freedom. But then he balances them with this word, not to go to an excess where this freedom would become an occasion for your flesh. This brother was so perfectly balanced in Christ, wasn't he?
He really was. Like you said, his writing was very balanced, very healthy. This is healthy teaching for the sake of preserving the testimony among us. And we only want to testify one thing in this universe, and it's the most wonderful person, that is Christ.
Amen. Brother Dick, enjoyable fellowship once again in this life-giving book that we are dealing with these days, the book of Galatians. A lot of riches before us, Brother Dick.
There sure are, and praise the Lord, we're touching Christ as life.
Our telephone number, toll-free, is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. And our mailing address is Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to us to radio@lsm.org. Today for Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. To discover more of what Living Stream has to offer, please visit ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll be able to read over 600 titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee online and free of charge. Again, the website ministrybooks.org. Thanks for listening today.